Well, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Good to see everybody. Hope that you're in good spirits this morning. And I trust that if you're not, you'll be encouraged by our time together, that you'll leave in good spirits today. And if I didn't get a chance to see you yet this year, Happy New Year. All the best in 2013. And hope that God blesses you with the desires of your heart. Last week we had a great time if you weren't with us. Of course we talked about the theme of the year. And the theme of the year is EPIC. And of course as an acronym, of course the word EPIC is thrown out there so many times. And of course as an acronym, Everyday People Imitating Christ. And so that is how we're going to have an EPIC year, is through the acronym Everyday People Imitating Christ. Is how I do pray that we will have a great year as the Ottawa Church of Christ, and also that you yourself personally will have a great year with your life and also your family. Of course, we talked about how 2013 is a year filled with many different possibilities. And hopefully this will be a year where we will attempt things that maybe we haven't ever attempted before in our lives. A year of accomplishing extraordinary things in epic proportions, and a year where our influence is of great size. That we will have an incredible influence wherever we are, at school, at work, in the home, in our community, that we will have an incredible influence wherever we are. But again, we're going to do that by everyday people imitating Christ. Because Jesus had an incredible influence, that he influenced everyone around him. And we too can have an incredible influence as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You know, it's amazing, as we talked about imitation last week. And I mentioned how, you know, Eric was imitating us in whatever we do. Imitating us when we're shoveling snow outside. He's imitating us by wanting to mop around the house. And so, of course, I mentioned last week our goal is to get him to do household chores sometime soon. Another area where he imitates, and usually this is what happens at the beginning of the year, everyone has goals as to, you know what, I want to get in shape. And, of course, we have a scale in our house. And so he sees us jump on the scale, he jumps on the scale. The one thing is, though, he's laughing when he's on the scale. And so as I see him laughing, he's on the scale laughing and excited. I'm like, well, when you get to 40, I hope you can still laugh and be that excited when you jump on the scale. But regardless, of course, we set all kinds of resolves. But of course, the one resolve we talked about is making sure to imitate Christ. And so for the next few months, we're going to be looking at different characteristics of Jesus. The strength of Jesus. The confidence of Jesus. The purity of Jesus. The humility of Jesus. The patience of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the compassion, discernment of Jesus, the enthusiasm of Jesus, the brotherly kindness of Jesus, the generosity of Jesus, Jesus' trust in God, the sincerity of Jesus, the moral perfection of Jesus, the serenity of Jesus, the poise of Jesus, and so much more. And so we're going to be looking at these different characteristics, and different brothers are going to be sharing these different characteristics of Jesus and how we can imitate Jesus in these different areas. Later last week, we briefly touched on the heart of Jesus and how his heart was spiritual, his heart was pure, his heart was purposeful, his heart was at peace, and his heart was content. And today we're going to continue by looking at another area that we see in the life of Jesus. You know, Jesus was one of a kind. He was unique. He stands out among all heroes and important figures in history. His richness of character is like no other. He amazed, astonished his contemporaries. You know, in Mark chapter 1, I'll just give you these scriptures to look at. We don't have time to look at them today. Mark chapter 1 and verse 22. He taught as one who had authority, and people were amazed at the way Jesus taught. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus healed the paralytic man, and people were amazed that Jesus healed this man. In Mark chapter 11, while people despised him, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. In Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, he changed a man's life, and people were amazed. You know, you think about in so many different ways, Jesus amazed people. Whether it be through his teaching, whether it be through the way that he healed people and changed people's lives. But you know, it's amazing when we, if you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 1, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. You know, as I mentioned, although Jesus amazed and he astonished those around him, his disciples did not ask Jesus, Jesus, I want you to teach me how to preach like you. Jesus, I want you to teach me how to heal people like you. But what we do see in the scriptures is that the disciples made a request, said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, if you are a disciple today, if you want to be a disciple, if you have no idea what a disciple is, and if your faith is weak as a disciple, it's very important that we imitate the prayer life of Jesus. It is very important that we imitate the prayer life of Jesus. And that is what we're going to look at here this morning, is the prayer life of Jesus. Because I do believe that as we set different goals as to how we want to grow this year, and as we focus on Christ and becoming more like Him, and as we have set many different goals before the Lord as to what we want to see happen in 2013, it's very important that we live a life of prayer. But before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we do approach you here this morning. Father, grateful that we're able to gather together as brothers and sisters, friends and family. Father, to be able to take this time to worship you. And Father, thank you that we're able to arrive here safely. But Father, I pray that as we study your word, that, Father, we would allow your word to really speak to each and every one of our hearts. Father, whether we've been a disciple for a few months, years, Father, whether we are learning as to what a disciple is, Father, I do pray that you would put on our hearts, Father, a stronger desire, Father, to pray. Father, you'd put on our hearts understanding the importance of prayer in our lives. Father, when we think about the life of Jesus, Father, we think about how he saturated his life with prayer. How, Father, he depended on you. He relied upon you, God, for strength each and every day. And, Father, I pray that as we strive to become more and more like him, that, Father, we would not try to accomplish things by human effort, but, Father, we would be dependent upon your strength in our lives so that, Father, we can accomplish the things according to your will. Father, as we study your word here today, Father, I pray that your spirit really be among us. Father, whether we're excited about the new year, whether our hearts are heavy, Father, I pray that you really work in our lives, Father, to transform us more and more into the likeness of your Son. Father, be with us as we study your word. We pray that you bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there is a quote that says, if I wish to humble anyone, I should ask him about his prayers. Meaning that if we want to humble someone, just ask someone, how's your prayer life going? You know, prayer is one of those things where we can struggle with from time to time. I know I do at time to time. But I think a prayer is so important in our lives, and so important that we understand and look at the prayer life of Jesus. You know, an anonymous person said, a life hemmed in prayer is less likely to come unraveled. A life hemmed in prayer is less likely to come unraveled. Another quote that says, it is a good thing to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last business of the evening. And the last quote, it says, one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, or prayerless religion. You know, imitating the prayer life is very important. You know, every year, well not every year, every pretty much week or month, I set a goal to read different books. This year, started reading these two different books. One is called Spiritual Leadership. I've read it before, but it's always one of those things to kind of go back and read books again. And also another book by the same author called The Incomparable Christ. And both authors, the same author, talks about the importance of prayer in our day-to-day lives. And we're going to be looking at a few different sections from both of these different books to help us understand more and more the importance of prayer in our lives. You know, of course, when we think about Jesus, Jesus lived a life that was unraveled. I think all of us would like to live a life where we're not unraveled. But when we think about his life, that he was busy. He was busy praying. That prayer was, for Jesus, the first business of the day and the last business of the evening. He knew the importance of prayer in his life, and he was dependent on God for everything. You know, for me, at times, I can at times not really believe that the human needs of Jesus were as real as my own. Or I could fail to see how much his humanity was aided by the divine. But what's important for us to understand, when Jesus lived on earth, Jesus was flesh. But Jesus was able to do the things he did. He was able to accomplish many things because of his prayer life. You know, at times we can think of prayer as an add-on to our already busy lives. But when we do pray, I know when I pray, it helps me to draw near to God. And helps me to deal with my inner heart. And it helps me to focus. When I feel like I'm not focused and I'm not sharp, prayer helps me to be centered. Prayer helps me to draw close to God. And by drawing close to God, helps me able to see things very differently. You know, because what does prayer do for us? Prayer activates the power in a disciple's life. Without prayer, there is no power, and there is no relationship with God. Prayer keeps us humble, it connects us to God's heart, and reveals God's will to us. And when we pray more and more, we find that our faith continues to build. You know, what are some different sections that, when I read this book, it talks about? It talks about the posture of prayer. Jesus prayed while he was standing. Jesus prayed when he was kneeling. Jesus prayed with his face to the ground. That his posture took various forms. But while posture is not everything, it is something. Posture may not be everything, but it is something. You think about the difference when either you're praying when you're standing up, or you think about when you're praying and you're kneeling, and you're on your knees and you're praying to God. There's a very big difference, I find, at least personally. I find when I'm down on my knees, it helps me to be more aware of God simply because I'm humbling myself and going on my knees. You know, I'm realizing it's becoming not as easy as it was before. Get down to knees, and suddenly you get down to knees, you want to get back up. But it's one of those things where it helps us have a different mindset when we are kneeling and praying to God. You know, the place of prayer, the place of his prayers. Jesus prayed in secret. And of course, that's seen in his commands to disciples in Matthew 6. He prayed in the company of others, that he often took his disciples and went off to a place where he prayed. You know, when was the last time that we prayed on our knees before God? When was the last time we took a brother or sister with us and said, you know what? Hey, let's get together. Let's go outside at some point and spend some time praying. You know, Jesus prayed in solitude on the mountainside. And at times he was so focused in praying that nothing could distract him. You know, the occasion of his prayers, you know, in the Gospel of Luke, it indicates several different times that Jesus prayed. At his baptism in Luke 3:21, after a day of miracles in Luke 5:16, before choosing the 12 apostles in Luke 6:12 to 16, before the prediction of his death in Luke 9:18, on the Mount of Transfiguration 9:29, before teaching the disciples to pray, as we looked at earlier in Luke 11:1, when the 72 returned with the report, Luke 10:21, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:39 to 46, and he prayed on the cross in Luke 23:34. You know, you read through from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry until his dying seconds on the cross, and all in between, Jesus' life was a life of prayer. He prayed in the morning in Mark 1:35. Again, he prayed in the evening. He also prayed all night. You know, you think about if we prayed like Jesus individually, what God would do in our lives. If we prayed collectively as a church, what God would do in our lives collectively. If we imitate the prayer life of Jesus. You know, I have 4 points I want to look at here today. And the first point I want to look at here today is great achievements were preceded by prayer. When you look through the scriptures, great achievements were preceded by prayer. You know, we'll look at Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse 35. And this is, of course, the feeding of the 4,000. And in verse 35, he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them, gave it to the disciples, and then turned them to the people. And they turned to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. You know, the feeding of the 5,000, you can write down, very similar. The feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish in John 6, 10 to 11. We also see another situation in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 and verse 22. And of course, this is where Jesus goes on to walk on water. And it says in verse 22, Jesus immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. You know, in John chapter 11, verse 40 to 44, you don't need to turn there. But before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, that Jesus prayed, John 11, 40 to 44. And in another situation, as we look at Mark chapter 9, in verse 21, we see a man healed of demon possession. And in Mark chapter 9, in verse 21, and of course this man, of course, wants Jesus to heal his son. So Jesus asked the boy's father in Mark 9, verse 21, Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." And of course, what happens, we see that the boy goes on to being healed. And of course, Jesus, in verse 28, it says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." You know, some things in life only change with prayer. Some things never get fixed without prayer. And Jesus had spent time on the mountainside and was prepared to deal with whatever it was he faced because of his deep prayer life. You know, whatever we set out to accomplish, you know, we need to understand that great achievements for Jesus were preceded by prayer. And it's important as we set out to, with whatever goals that we want to see accomplished this year, that we set out really putting these different requests and whatever we want to before God. You know, when I think about 2012, you know, one of the things that highlights I think about was our campus ministry. You know, our campus ministry was all but zero. And I remember Karen and myself, we were walking at Ottawa U, and we were praying for, you know, God, we pray that you can open up the hearts of the campus students here, because we want to see campus students a part of the Ottawa U ministry here in the Ottawa Church. And I remember Karen putting up a position, "Oh God, I pray for 5 campus students. But come September, that we'll have 5 campus students in Ottawa." Actually, no, she prayed for 6. But we actually ended up having 5, because we saw disciples move in. We were able to see disciples get baptized. But I know, and Karen was praying, she was praying for, you know, "I pray, God, for 6 campus students." And I remember saying to her afterwards, going, "Okay, how about we pray for 1? And after we get 1, why don't we pray for 2? Then why don't we work our way up?" But Karen's like, "No, let's really pray and believe that God can give us what we request." And lo and behold, you know, my faith was challenged, my prayer life was challenged, and then afterwards going, "Wow, prayer really works." But it's amazing to see just how God blessed us with the campus ministry. And I believe God can bless us with so much more if we simply ask Him. Whatever it is we want to accomplish, that we simply just put it before Him, I do believe that God can really work in accomplishing great things. You know, the most effective way of moving people is by prayer. You know, men are considered, well, people are considered difficult objects to move. That it's more effective to pray for them than to try to change them. Because we try so much to try to change people. But we spend very little time praying for people. You know, whatever changes we want to see in ourselves, maybe changes you want to see in your children, maybe changes you want to see in your parents, maybe changes you want to see in family members, changes you want to see in the church, changes you want to see at work, changes you want to see at school, in your community, pray. You know, you think about, even the Bible talks about how we need to pray for kings and rulers, of course, in authority, because prayer can change them. But just it's so easy, you think about it in our world, where people want to change things in governments and all that kind of stuff, there's this civil group, this group, this group. And sometimes there are certain steps that are necessary, but so little prayer is done to try to change circumstances. But what's important is that great achievements must be preceded by prayer. You know, great achievements, number two, were followed by prayer. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, you know, we saw how Jesus went to the mountainside to pray. And then he went on to walking on water. But we also see that prior to that, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, he had just finished feeding the 5,000. You know, after such an incredible achievement, Jesus went and prayed. After a successful event, after a successful day in the ministry, Jesus went off to the mountainside to pray. You know, it's amazing. I think about at times when whatever it is that I might pray for, maybe it's a crisis, maybe it's something that I want to accomplish in life, but it's amazing how when I get it, I don't spend that same kind of prayer intensity thanking God for what I have. Where I find it so easy to spend time asking God for these different things, but then after I get it, to spend very little time thanking God for what I have. You know, that is one thing I want to make sure to change this year, and as well, prayer is something I want to change this year, but making sure that whatever it is that God, wherever God works, to spend time thanking God for the way that He worked and not going on to asking God very quickly for something else. Great achievements were followed by prayer. You know, after God does something for you, you know, how much effort do you spend thanking God for the ways that He worked in that situation? You know, prayerfully, we can really take more time to thank God for whatever it is He does in our lives. You know, number three, great pressures of work called for extra prayer. Great pressures of work called for extra prayer. You know, Jesus was a very busy man. You know, it says that sometimes that he was so busy because of the crowd that pressed around him that he didn't even have time to eat. That it was so busy, he did not have time to eat. You know, you think about when the crowds came around Jesus. That Jesus in Luke 5, 16 says that, you know what? When the crowd came to be healed by Jesus, that Jesus withdrew to go and spend time praying. That no matter what, you could not get Jesus to stop praying. You could get Jesus to forget to eat, but you could not get Jesus to stop praying. Whether the busyness of life, whatever it is he had to do, you could not get him to stop praying. Because prayer was his life. You know, for Jesus, the busyness of life was a reason for extra time in prayer. The busyness of life was even more reason for Jesus to spend time in prayer. You know, you think about in our own lives, whether it be when school crunch, whether it be work deadlines, whether it be different events, when life just takes over. You know, it's so important to not allow the busyness of the things we need to do in life squeeze out our time with God. You know, Satan wants us to work harder. He wants us to do more. But doesn't want us to pray more. And what's important is that if we have so many things to do, we should never be too busy to pray. If we're too busy to pray, then we're too busy. Because we should never be too busy to pray. Great achievements were preceded by prayer. Great achievements were followed by prayer. Great pressures of work called for extra prayer. And last but not least, great sorrows were met in prayer. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading in verse 39. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so you will not fall into temptation." You know, great sorrows were met in prayer. You know, here we see Jesus is about to go to the cross, and Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and of course he says, "Father, if you're willing, take this from me. Yet not as I will, but your will be done." You know, Jesus met these sorrows with an attitude of submission and surrender in prayer. You know, great sorrows, and of course we face different challenges in our life. You know, when I think back at 2012, you know, I think there were highlights and there were, challenges. And the one thing that comes to my mind is how, in terms of learning and God wanting me to spend more time in prayer. And one of the situations I think about when my mom went into, when she had her stroke and she went into a coma, she's still in a coma, and thanks for your continued prayers. But it's one of those things where I remember when I was at the hospital, just my heart was racing and pounding. Even to the point where I was concerned, thinking, you know what, my heart is just, I've never felt this in my heart before. And I remember going out of the hospital and going for a walk because I was like, you know what, I have to do something. And I remember going and just spending some time praying and praying for God, you know what, if it's your will, I want my mom to make it. I want my mom to come out, I want her to be restored to health, if that's your will. But if it's not your will, and I remember pausing because I knew in my heart what I'd be surrendering to. And I said, you know, God, if you believe it's her time, then you know what? It's her time. But I would prefer that she's still around. But you know, if it's her time, then it's her time. And I remember I was in tears, weeping, and even sometimes questioning. Okay, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have surrendered that yet to God. And questioning, but when I surrendered it to God, there was a comfort and a peace, knowing that, okay, you know what? I'm surrendered to this. But when I was not surrendered to it, my heart continued to race, and I remember my heart was racing, and I remember family members would be calling me, and every time I'd be sitting there wondering, okay, you know what? They're calling me to give me an update. And I'd be sitting going, okay, you know what? I can't answer the phone, because it's going to be bad news. And even to the point where I told my family, don't call me. Let me be the one to call you. Because it was so stressful. But I remember after going and spending time praying and really surrendering it to God, I remember God working to put my heart at peace. And of course, I still pray for my mom, but my heart is at a very different place than it was back then. And I know for some of us here, 2013 was a difficult year, whether it be the loss of a loved one, maybe health challenges, work challenges, family challenges. I think we need to look at the life of Jesus and see that great sorrows were met in prayer. For us too, whatever it is that's on our hearts, because I know that even as we've begun the year, there's different things that'll be on our hearts. But for us to go and spend time with God, and whatever it is that's on our hearts, really going and connecting with God, and surrendering it is whatever it is that we have in our hearts, and asking God to fill our hearts with peace. You know, God wants us to imitate the heart of Jesus, but we need to also imitate the prayer life of Jesus. When we are praying to God, when we are dependent on God, we'll see life very differently. God will work in our lives to accomplish great things in our lives collectively and our lives individually. But we should not be those who depend on the flesh. We should not be those who are self-reliant. Or we should not be those who live powerless lives. Because that is not what God wants of each and every one of us. God wants us to live lives where we're filled with power, where we accomplish great things when we imitate the prayer life of Jesus. You know, wherever you are in your prayer life, let's make it our goal to grow deeper in our prayer life. If we're praying very little, to pray more. If you don't pray at all, to begin praying. And God will do amazing things to help you accomplish different things. God will do amazing things to reveal His plan for your life when we imitate the prayer life of Jesus. Amen. God bless.